Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the way maker. Thank you that you're working for us even when we don't realize it, don't feel it, don't see it, but we know you're working. Father, I pray today as we bring the word, there'll be open hearts and receptive ears to receive the word today in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk about limits, going beyond your limits. You know, people have been for long, back even in the 50s when I was a kid and then, you know, graduating high school in 58, people are always seemed fascinated with the superheroes. Anybody remember that, you know? And, they went beyond the limits of what humanity can. And people are always looking for something. And we admire those in life that achieve extraordinary things. Sometimes we become frustrated at the boundaries of our human ability. But we need to realize that boundaries are good in some areas, and sometimes they're not so good. I mean, we better have boundaries when we're driving our cars. Have some law, traffic laws. And you know, healthy relationships have good boundaries. Company policies have regulations and boundaries that keep us acceptable and safe in the workplace. But God has a plan and a calling that should provide boundaries for our spiritual conditions. You know, there is a boundary that you better pay attention to, and it's called the law of gravity. If you jump out that balcony, you're going to hit the ground. That's the law of gravity. If I drop something or if I jump down here, you're not going to stand. You're not going to walk out there in midair. You're going to fall. That's the law of gravity. But there are boundaries in our lives that we must maintain. But there are boundaries that keep us from receiving all the blessings that God had for us. And one of those boundaries is fear and doubt. Another one of those boundaries is hate and unforgiveness that keep us from receiving everything that we need from God. And I believe that God wants us to enlarge our boundaries so we can go beyond the limits. You know, in Luke 18:27, I'll wait a minute and let you turn there. I go too fast sometimes, so I'll slow down a little bit, okay? It says, he replied, what is impossible for people is possible with God. That's the NLT. Contemporary English, there are some things that people cannot do, but God can do anything. The Passion Translation says, what appears humanly impossible is more than possible with God, for God can do what man cannot. You know, when we read these scriptures, it could get us looking in many different directions. And one direction we can look is that we can look at our own self and see our weaknesses and our impossibility in our humanity. We can look around at our circumstances and our situations that limit us and set limits on us. But we can and should look at the possibilities of God. That's the question that we need to face today. Will we choose to live within the impossible limitations of humanity and our circumstances? Or will we set our faith and receive the impossibilities of God? You know, as I was thinking about all this, I began to realize that, you know, that we talk about the children of Israel. And we need to realize, Paul said, that what happened to the children of Israel happens as examples for us. Anybody ever read that in there? Yeah. Well, an example tells you what to do or what not to do, right? So let's read about the children of Israel in Exodus 14 as they are leaving Egypt's bondage. Exodus 14, we're going to begin with verse 10. I'm going to read it in the NLT today. And we're going to go through verse 22. All right. As Pharaoh approached, the people of Israel looked up and panicked when they saw the Egyptians overtaking them. They cried out to the Lord. And they said to Moses, "Why didn't you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? Weren't there enough graves for us in Egypt? What have you done to us? Why did you make us leave Egypt? Didn't we tell you this would happen while we were still in Egypt? We said, 'Leave us alone. Let us be slaves to the Egyptians. It's better to be a slave in Egypt than a corpse in the wilderness.'" But Moses told the people, "Don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today, you'll never see again. The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to get moving. Pick up your staff, raise your hand over the sea, divide the water so the Israelites can walk through in the middle of the sea on dry ground. And I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they will charge in after the Israelites. My glory will be displayed through Pharaoh and his troops, his chariots, his charioteers. When my glory is displayed through them, all Egypt will see my glory and know that I am the Lord." Then the angel of the Lord who had been leading the people of Israel moved to the rear of the camp. And the pillar of cloud also moved from the front and stood behind them. The cloud settled between the Egyptians and the Israelites. And as darkness fell, the cloud turned to fire, lighting up the night. But the Egyptians and the Israelites did not approach each other all night. Moses raised his hand over the sea, and the Lord opened up a path through the water with a strong east wind. The wind blew all night, turning the seabed into dry land. So the people of Israel walked through the middle of the sea on dry ground with walls of water on each side. Now here we see the Israelites have left Egypt. They haven't gone very far until trouble started knocking at their back door. You know, don't be surprised if you're following God, if the devil begins to try to dissuade you and get you to quit believing what the Word of God says. Boundaries of life had them hemmed in. Pharaoh's armies were behind them. They couldn't go around the Red Sea, and it was in front of them. It looked like that they were hemmed in, surrounded by physical barriers. But they also had other boundaries limited them. They had the boundaries of their own thoughts, and you see what their own thoughts were. I just read them to you. They said, let's go back to Egypt. Let's go back to slavery. You know, if you don't know about types in the Word of God, Egypt is a type of sin. And the children of Israel being delivered from sin is a type of us as we accept Christ to be delivered. And I don't have time because remember they put the blood on the top of the doors, and that's how they were delivered, by the blood of the Lord Jesus, of the animal. We are delivered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was shed on Calvary. I don't have time to go through that whole theological explanation on that, but just know they are. They've been redeemed. They've been turned loose. God has brought them out. He has brought them to this place. Now their fears. They were fearful because they had nothing they could do in the natural to keep Pharaoh from overtaking them and killing them. In the end, when Moses heard from God and believed what God said, what did he tell him to do? He said, "Raise up the rod." Now, actually, that rod we think of, it actually was a more like a shepherd's staff. And what good is it going to do to hold a rod out over the water? I've held a fishing rod out over the water, and the fish didn't jump out and grab my line. Didn't do no good. But when he held that rod out, something happened. Why? Because he believed what God said, and he did what God said. God said, hold a rod out. He told the people to be still and look, and see the power of God in operation. Isn't that what it said? Now he tells Moses, stick a rod out over the water. I mean, you know, that doesn't sound right. But when it's impossible, man, it's possible with God. Hello. Now, the direction they focused on greatly determined what limits would affect them. What boundaries? They could choose to look back at Pharaoh's army and be scared to death. Or they could look at their own weaknesses, their own inabilities. They could gaze on the sea in front of them and say, man, we're in trouble. Or they can look at the possibilities of God. They chose to stand still because Moses told them to. And God told them to. Actually, Moses told them because of what God said. And see me work. We're going to say it our language. Now, I want you to understand the direction you choose to look will determine your outcome. You can look at what the enemy is attacking you with. You can look at the circumstances of life. You can have your own thoughts in your mind. You can go back down memory lane and see all of the problems that you've had before. Or you can let your eyes feast upon the promises of God and what God said and see that the possibility for healing, the possibility for vision, the possibility for deliverance, the possibility for success, the possibility for victory, it is there for you if you will look at it and believe it. You will go beyond the limits of what your human abilities tell you you can do. You know, today we have to deal with real life. Life is real. Have you ever stopped to think about it? I've been around for 81 years. And you know what? As I was looking at stuff, we're probably the most educated generation that's ever lived on the face of the earth. You go study it out. We probably have more technological advancements than anybody's ever had. I mean, you know, my grandfather come back, he would be amazed because he had never seen these things. We put people on the moon, and when I was growing up, that was a fantasy. But it happened. Why? Because of all of our advancements. We probably have more knowledge about the human body and how the human body works than any other generation. We have had, according to what they say, we have the greatest advancement in civilization that's ever happened, that ever took place. You know, we've discovered more of the earth's resources and how to use them. And yet, in all of this, mankind still has limits. Mankind has never found a way to save himself yet. Mankind has never found a way to be healed of incurable diseases. Man by himself cannot find a way out of the limitations of this world. I'm standing right here today looking at a group of people that are believing and wanting, and I see a group watching me there that are listening. They are wanting to see the possibilities of the Word of God come into existence in their life. How can this be? How can I escape my limitations in the natural? You have to resist fear and believe the word. Fear and faith cannot operate together. As we face all of the limitations of life, we have to go back to the Word of God and see what the Word of God has to say and say, I've not been given a spirit of fear, but a power and love and sound mind. I believe what the Bible says about my situation. I am not going to get into fear. Somebody said, well, you don't ever know what will happen. Yes, I do. What the Word of God says is exactly what's going to happen. Somebody said, well, that's sort of a naive thing. Hey, listen, God said it. I believe it. That settles it, period. I don't even question it, okay? We have to realize that we can't have doubt one day and faith the next day. It doesn't work that way. You either have faith and you stay in faith, or you have doubt, unbelief. If you're going to get out of your limitations, you got to have faith in the word. There is another thing that you have to do if you're going to get out of the limitations and let the promises of God and his unlimited power work for you. You're going to have to get over unforgiveness. I don't care what anybody's done to you. Let it go. Let it go. Forgive them and go on down the road. But there's another thing we've got to get rid of. That's bitterness and hatred. That's prejudice. We've got to get rid of those things. We have to accept everybody for who they are. I might not like what they're doing, but I still have to love the person. How many understand what I'm saying to you? You know, a lot of people are wanting God to move in their lives and they're praying, Lord, but I'm believing what the word says. But yet they're holding hatred. They're holding prejudice. They're holding unforgiveness in their heart. The Bible is very plain. You will not get any of these things working in your life unless you let all of those things go. I didn't say it was easy, but I said you can live a lifestyle that way. You know, I learned it from the man that I grew up in his house. He never let anything, I don't care what anybody said or what they did. He never held bitterness or unforgiveness. He walked in love. If you were here when his casket sat right there that held the body that he lived in, he wasn't there. He was already gone. How many of you were here at that memorial service? I know a bunch of you. You know, he was a great man of faith. He was a great man of prayer. But if you listened at the eulogies that were given to him, it was about how his love walk. Anybody remember that? One guy said, man, I'd like to be like Brother Hagin. I said, well, you got to quit holding grudges, because I knew the person. Well, I just can't forget what they done. I said, that's why you're not getting anything. You know me, I'm just plain. I just say it like it is, and that's I tell it like it is, and that's it. But you cannot hold a grudge against somebody. You've got to turn it loose. I don't care what they said about you. You ever go and read on the internet what they say about me? What they say about this ministry? Somebody said, don't that bother you? I said, no, don't bother me. I'm going to do what God told me to do, and I'm not going to let that bother me at all. That's their problem, not mine. You've got to get to that situation that nothing gets you out of believing God. You know, we got to learn to believe the promises and go beyond the limits of our humanity. Anybody understand what I'm trying to talk to you about today? We've got to learn to look at the possibilities in God, in what He said in His Word. Move beyond the limits of your circumstances. Yes, we all have circumstances. We all face situations. Things come in all of our lives that would try to hinder us from following God. See, that is what the devil wants to do. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:4 that the devil is the god of this world. The god of this world wants to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to poison your mind against this group of people, against that group of people, against that person. He wants you to get into hatred and unforgiveness. But listen, we have to learn to walk within the limits of God, not in the limits of what the world is saying. That's the devil himself. He wants to destroy you. He wants to keep you down. We have to learn to walk in love. Walking in love doesn't mean that you become a doormat for somebody. That's what some people think love. No, walking in love is loving people even when they're unlovable. Come on now. We have got to look at the possibilities of moving beyond our human limitations to the unlimited promises of God. We've got to move forward and do exploits in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Through the power in that name. You know, somebody said, I want to look for possibilities, but where are they at? Right here. Right here is the possibilities in the Word. What does the Word say? When you open your Bible and begin to read the promises of God, you open the door to unlimited, I said unlimited, things that God says belongs to you. But you have to know about them, and then you have to go and possess them. The children of Israel, the old generation didn't go in because they didn't believe what God said. The younger generation went in. He said, I'm going to give you the land, but they had to go possess it. The Word of God said, He says, I'm going to give you this, or I'm going to give you that, but you're going to have to go out there with the hand of faith and take hold of it. Anybody understand what I'm saying? Now, the enemy would tell you, no, you can't do that. The enemy will get you to looking at this and looking at that. And well, you know, so-and-so, they was in the same condition and they never got out of it. I don't care what condition that somebody else was in. The Bible says I don't have to be there. The Bible says I can be delivered from that. I'm going to tell you what, when you start walking in the unlimited power of God, and moving beyond your human limitations, I'm going to tell you what, you are poised for an explosion of power in your life that you've never seen before. You know, I was just thinking right now, as we are beginning we've built the foundation of the Word of God into our lives, and now we are believing for the unlimited power of God began to work in our lives. And as I was thinking about that, all of a sudden in my mind, I could see that big rocket down there on Cape Canaveral. It's sitting there. It's poised. And they're counting it down. And when they hit that switch, That fire comes out from underneath that and lifts and propels that rocket into outer space. Listen, friend, you have built the rocket launcher. Hit the button with the word of God and watch your life go soaring beyond the limits that the enemy wants to put on you. He wants to control you. But let me tell you something. You can go beyond that. You can go beyond that. Believing the word of God opens up unlimited possibilities. In Luke 13:10, let's read this one story. We could read a bunch, but let's just read this one story. On the Sabbath day, as Jesus was teaching in the synagogue, he saw a woman who had been crippled by an evil spirit. She had been bent double for 18 years and was unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Dear woman, you're healed of your sickness." Then he touched her and instantly she could stand straight. How she praised God. But the leader in charge of the synagogue was indignant that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day. "There are 6 days a week to work," he said to the crowd. "Come on these days to be healed, not on the Sabbath." But the Lord replied, "You hypocrites, each of you works on the Sabbath day. Don't you untie your oxen or your donkey from its stall on the Sabbath and lead it out for water? This dear woman, a daughter of Abraham, had been in bondage by Satan for 18 years. Isn't it right that she be released on the Sabbath day?" The boundaries of sickness that had her for 18 years, it said here, "This dear woman is a daughter of Abraham and has been in bondage. Isn't it right for her to be released?" Let me tell you, so how many of you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and become born again and become children of God? Then the Bible says in Galatians 3:3, I'm not going to read all of them, but it says, if you have become a part of the family of God by faith, that the blessing of Abraham should come on you. That woman right there, it said that she should be delivered because she is a son of Abraham. Friend, we have become the spiritual son of Abraham, so the blessing of Abraham should become ours. What is that blessing? Redemption from spiritual death. Redemption from poverty and sickness. That is the covenant that God made with Abraham and his descendants. We are called the spiritual descendants of Abraham. Therefore, we have a right to claim the promises of God and go into the unlimited riches of God that he has for us. You know, by speaking the word of God with authority, it puts you in a position of unlimited power with God. You know, we need to move beyond our limitations and move in to the unlimited, 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 unlimited promises of God. You know, we quote it all the time in Mark 9:20, anything's possible if the first person believes. It's believing. Smith Wigglesworth said in his Ever Increasing Faith, any man can be changed by faith, no matter how he is fettered, or we would use the word, that was the English, back old English, but we would use, any man can be changed by faith, no matter how he may be bound. And we sing the song, he's a way maker. We sing the song that he's working when we can't see it. Right? He's moving when we don't feel it. Yeah, sometimes somebody would say, well, but you know, my upbringing was bad. I haven't had many, very, very many opportunities. I've just faced trouble all my life. There's no answer for it. Friend, I'm going to tell you what, none of that makes any difference. We've all had situations that we grew up with that wasn't good. Everybody has. I don't care where you're from, who you look like, anything else. We've all had those. But let me tell you what, we've overcome it all. We've overcome every limitation through the power of the Word of God. There is no, say it with me, there is no limits when you put your faith in the Word of God. Now I hear a few people saying it. I don't know whether the rest of you or not. Maybe I just can't hear you. But hey, you got to believe that. You got to believe it. And you've got to act like it's so. And you got to walk like it's so. I grew up, as I said, in the house of the man that they call the modern day father of faith. He didn't like that title, but they give it to him anyway. But I watched him, and I learned to do it by watching him and just believe what God said whenever it looked like all hope was gone, when it looked like everything was gone down the tubes. He still said, "We believe God, son." I was a sophomore in high school, taking what they would call homeschool. Now we call it a correspondence school. And we had a 43-foot Spartan house trailer that was built here in Tulsa. Spartan used to build house trailers, if any of y'all didn't know that. Anybody old enough lived in Oklahoma long enough to know that Spartan used to build house trailers? Yes, some people are here. And we set that thing up on a Saturday. And Mom, we were holding a meeting in a certain place in California. Mom fixed the last bit of food that we had in that trailer. And we sat down and we ate our Saturday night meal. And Mom told Dad, said, "We don't have any more food." And we prayed and asked God to bring us food. And I knew that he'd preach Sunday morning at this church, and they'd probably take us out to eat, and they did. And I was hoping they'd take us out after Sunday night service, but they didn't. Now I'm going to show you how to get the unlimited resources of God to work for you. We got up the next morning. We sat down at the table like we always did, but there wasn't nothing to eat. So we thanked God that he was bringing us food. He went and taught. Me and my sis, we worked on our stuff, books, our homework and all that. Dad came back. Mom would usually fix lunch. We'd eat lunch, and then he'd help us with our whatever schoolwork that he had to help us with. We sat down at the table and we thanked God for our food. And then we went to work. We did the same thing that night before we went to church. That's Monday. Tuesday, we did the same thing. By this time, a 16-year-old is getting hungry. At that time, I stood about 6 foot tall, weighed about 120 pounds. My dad said I had hollow legs. But man, I don't tell you what, I'm getting hungry. And I said, "Dad," he said, "No, son, we believe God. Don't you tell anybody we don't have food. God either will do. He's unlimited. He will either do it or not." And he said, "He will do it. You wait and see. You keep the faith and you watch it happen." We got up Wednesday, did the same thing Wednesday morning and Wednesday at noon. I'm sitting there doing some history work, I think it was, and I heard a car out stop outside. I looked out the window and there was a pickup out there. And it back then you had your grocery sacks was paper, big paper sacks. How many know one when they used to have them big paper sacks? The bed of that pickup was crammed full of paper sacks and some sitting on top of them. Dad would lay down and rest in the afternoon, meditate and pray. Sometimes he'd take a nap to get ready for his night service. I said, "Dad, a pickup just stopped out front." And I said, "It's got the bed is full of sacks of groceries." He said, "Praise the Lord." He went to the man knocked on the door. And he said, Brother Hagin, ever since Sunday, the Lord been telling me to bring you some groceries, but I knew you didn't need them. But it got so bad today, I couldn't stand it. So here is a whole truckload of food. My dad didn't tell him. My dad just said, thank you, brother. We really appreciate it. Praise the Lord. But you ain't never seen a kid unload a truck so fast in all your life. And while mama was putting up the groceries, I'm peeling potatoes, man. But you see, we were limited in our ability. But God is not limited in his ability. Now there's two things you need to learn from that. Number one, God will provide if you'll keep believing. We kept believing. We sat down at an empty table and thanked God for the food. Number two, if God deals with you to do something for somebody, do it immediately, whether you think they need it or not. Praise God. Unlimited. God is unlimited. Sometimes it is limited because people don't listen to him quick enough. Come on now. Let me say this to you. Lift your voice to God. Speak what the word says. Thank God for the unlimited resources that are in the power of God. No limitation can hold you down. No circumstance of life can hold you down. Your own thoughts can't hold you unless you allow it to happen. As you look around things that surround you, realize that there is only one way out. Lift your eyes and look beyond the natural into the supernatural promises of God. And realize that the limitations are only for in the natural. The unlimited power of God is there for you if you'll open your mouth and begin to declare what the word has to say. See, there is no God as big as your God. There is nothing that he can't overcome. He is not limited in any way, shape, form, or fashion. I want us everybody to stand right now. I want us to sing that song, There's No God Big as My God. Come on.
There is no God as big as mine. Too big of a problem you just can't find. Well, it makes no difference what the devil tries.
Provide for us. The word tells us that we have everything. It's up to us to believe it and accept it. We can get excited about singing something. We can get excited because somebody spoke to us, but it comes back down to when we will stand our ground, put our feet in the ground and say, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I preach for a few moments today. Got to try to get stir these people to realizing that the only limits are the limits that they put on. There's no limits with you. Father, help us to grab a hold to the power and the word of God and live an unlimited life with you. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Anybody get anything out of this morning? Glory to God. We serve an unlimited God. Bow your heads for me just a moment, please. I never like to have a service that I speak at that I don't give an opportunity for somebody to find Jesus or somebody to rededicate their life to God. You may be in this auditorium today. You may be watching me online and you've never accepted Christ. Or you need to rededicate your life. You know what it is to accept Christ, but you know you're not just living where you're supposed to. You need to rededicate. If that's you in this building, you need Jesus, you need to rededicate. I want you to raise your hand right now. I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you. Anybody, anywhere in this, downstairs, upstairs, wherever you're at, anybody, raise their hand. Is there a hand upstairs? Thank you, Jesus. Are there any other hands that would be raised? Thank you, Jesus. I feel the Spirit of God saying that there's some people in this place. You just need to make a rededication statement. You need to rededicate your life. I'm going to wait just a minute. I'm not going to rush it. I'm going to wait just a minute. Thank you, Jesus. If that's you, raise your hand. Don't allow the enemy to keep you from receiving. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, hands. I want to ask you, if you raised your hand, to do something else. If you really meant business, I want you to step out and walk down here to the front because I want to pray with you. I said I wanted to pray with you and for you. I want you to come down here right now. Right now, come on. If you're in the balcony, the ushers will help you get down here. Just come right on, right here. Right here, yes. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Just stand looking at me. There you go. Praise God. Come on. Come on. You're never too young. You're never too old. Hallelujah to Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And I say there's some coming from the balcony. I'm going to wait on them. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Don't let the enemy keep you from receiving what God wants you to have. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank God for these that are coming from the balcony. That's a long walk, but it's well worth it. Hallelujah to Jesus. Thank God, thank God, thank God, thank God, thank God. Come on. Come on, right now. Come on, right now. Come on, right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on, come on, come on, come on. If you brought him down from the balcony, you can come stand with him. If you brought him with you, you come and stand with him right now.
Jesus is waiting.
Come on and stand with your friend. I know you brought him down. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God, thank God, thank God, thank God. Hallelujah. This is what it's all about right here.
Yes. Glory to God.
This is what it's all about right here. For each of you that have come, I'm going to say a prayer for you here. I said I wanted to pray for you and with you. But then I'm going to ask Greg, step right out here, Greg, where I can see you. I'm going to ask you to go to a special place of prayer where you can be prayed with individually in depth. People are waiting there to pray with you. Just follow him as soon as I finish my prayer. Right now, I want you to just raise one hand toward heaven. As you raise that hand, you're saying, Lord, this hand represents I'm reaching up to get what I came for. Heavenly Father, I thank you for every one of these that have come today. I thank you for salvation. I thank you for rededication of these lives. And I thank you that their lives will never be the same again after today. In Jesus' name, amen. Put your hands down. Would you turn and just follow Greg to that place of prayer right now? That's all right. Give them a big hand as they go. Thank God. Thank God. Go right ahead. Go right ahead. Hallelujah. Oh, here comes some more. Hallelujah. Thank God. God bless you. Hallelujah. Go ahead. Go right there. Right there. Hallelujah. Hey, reach your hands out toward them, congregation. Say this with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for everyone that's going to the prayer room. Thank you that their life will never be the same again. And they won't leave this place like they came, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Lift your hands and thank God. Glory, 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 glory. Well, praise the Lord. I trust you got a hold of what I had to say about limitations. We're only limited as we limit God. Did you understand that? We're the ones. There's no limits with him, but we limit him by what we do, say, and act. Amen. Well, praise God. Tonight, 6 o'clock, right here again. Wednesday night, hour of power, 7 to 8. Remember all the announcements. All right, and if you can, look in that bulletin and go online and look at it and get some of this. I don't know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, about 15 to 16 items that they say they really need. So, hey, bring them in. And come in that west lobby over there, and there's a container over there. You can just drop them off anytime during the week or when you come to church tonight or when you come Wednesday night or next Sunday morning. Amen. Turn around, wave at somebody and say, I don't know about you, but I believe God. And with God, I am not limited. Hallelujah. Don't be touching people, but just wave at them. All right. Let's do what we need to do in the natural and expect the supernatural to take place. God bless you. We'll see you tonight. Amen. There's no God big as your God.